This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. This is Liv and Lynn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Julia Jacobs. It's International Women's Day today, a day to celebrate women's contributions to social, economic, cultural, and political achievements all over the world. The theme for this year is Be Bold for Change, and I can't think of anyone who embodies this more than Siti Kasim, a lawyer and human rights activist. She joins me today to discuss her decision to pursue a law career, speaking up for those who do not have the privilege of having their voices heard, and how the judiciary can be a catalyst for social change. Welcome, Siti. How are you today?
Oh, hi. Thank you, Juliet. I'm very pleased to be here. I'm very good. Thank you so much for inviting me.
And I wasn't lying. You were the first person I thought of when I saw the theme. I was like, Siti Kasim, that's who I need.
I'm so touched. Yeah, thank you.
Just to start off, maybe you could tell us a bit about your growing up years. You know, how were you raised? You know, those sorts of things.
Yes. Oh, I have very fond memories of my childhood. I think the best years of my life is from, you know, when I was with my parents and my family. We are quite close-knit. The thing is, I love the way my parents raised me. You know, in my time, girls, you know, not supposed to be going out late at night. And it's still the same, you know. I mean, they're kampung people and all that. But they don't stop me from being active in school because I am really an active person. You know, I play sports, drama, all kind of things I do. As long they know that, you know, this is under the school and even starting from standard 5, I've been acting in drama. Okay. And the teacher actually, I remember send me back. You know, I live about 11 miles from my school. So he got to send me about 12 midnight after we finish our competition. And my mother, you know, like, you know, opened the door and the teacher say, Makcik, you know, minta maaf kerana hantar lambat balik. You know, I was only like, what, standard 5, how old?
11 years old.
11 years old. You know, I mean, you don't go out at all that time, right? So yes, I have much love from my parents. They taught me the rights and wrongs, you know. They never burdened me with indoctrination. I mean, they are just like ordinary Malays. They taught me what is right and what is wrong. And I think that's lovely, you know. And they don't say that because I'm a girl, I shouldn't do this, I shouldn't do that. In fact, I remember my mom, I had a kind of a debate or, you know, or discussion with my brother, my late brother-in-law, unfortunately, about polygamy. And I remember my mom was cheering me, you know, cheering me on, you know, because I was going against this polygamy idea with men who can't afford it, all this kind of thing. I was still, I mean, I was in my 20s at that time, but early 20s, and she was cheering me on, you know, that she loves that I am, you know, like fighting. And I think I adopt these traits from my mother, I think, despite not educated. I think if she's born in a different family, she would be somebody brilliant.
Okay. Yeah. And you're a mother yourself.
Yes.
You have a daughter, if
correct,
I'm not
yes.
wrong. How did you approach raising her, I suppose? Did you sort of make like conscious decisions that, okay, she's a girl, so I'm going to raise her differently? I'm going to, I don't know, raise her as a feminist, for example?
No. To be honest, I raised my child just like I was raised, to be open about everything, you know, to only think about what is, you know, goodness and, you know, avoid the bad things and to respect everyone. Even animals. And I do not mention about race. I do not mention about religion. I don't teach her. I just guide her, you know, because she is her own person. She has her own mind. My daughter is very independent and she can think for herself. Children are not stupid.
Not at all.
So I always tell her, you know, when it comes to the birds and the bees, you know, I only say like this, you have to respect yourself. You see, if you respect yourself, then others will respect you. And that's how I teach it. Because that doesn't teach children, you know.
No.
You need to tell them to respect themselves and what is right and what is wrong. I think that's how we should explain children about morals rather than trying to indoctrinate them about, oh, you know, brainwash them. This is cannot, this, no, this, yeah, no. Yeah. So that's how I see it anyway. All our morals, actually, the base is religion, actually. Comes, derives from religion, mm-hmm. religious teachings anyway.
And the other thing I wanted to raise is that I think knowledge is very important. And I'm sure you pushed your daughter to study hard. And same with you, you know, I'm sure you were offered all the same opportunities that your brothers were.
Yeah. I mean, my sister, especially my elder sister, she's the pusher in my family. You know, you must understand my parents were very poor and very, and they are not educated. So, in fact, my father did actually try to get my sister, second sister, to stop schooling, you know, because he cannot afford it, he said. And those times, you know, it's like they have to walk for miles, you know, to school and all that. Yeah. Anyway, but my sister was very adamant that no one actually should stop schooling. She said, you know, those times you can pass on the books down. You know, she said, no way any of our family siblings should actually not go to school. In fact, myself and my younger brother, she's the one who actually said we must go to English medium school. You know, she foresee this, that, you know, that she wants us to be able to speak English or understand English at least. So she sent us, she told my parents to send us to the town school because I live in the village. And so that's why, you know, like 11 miles from school or 12 miles, which is in town. So I was sent to Methodist Girls Secondary School. I think my parents, because they are not, they never say no as well about education. They are very concerned about results and stuff like that, but they don't know it too much, actually. I remember that, you know, when I have very bad report card, I don't show it to my father. I try to hide it. I mean, that poor old man doesn't even know anything, you know. Ask, never check, you know. And one thing, they never... Hey, how's, you know, have you done your homework? Stuff like that. No, nothing. It was like up to us, you know, happy. But my sister is the one very concerned about our education. But I must say that with my daughter as well, you know, I have this very, what do you call it, lackadaisical kind of attitude.
Attitude, yeah.
I don't actually, like some parents, I only told her this. I said, it's your future, okay? If you don't do well in your studies, you know, it's not my future, it's your future. You have to live with it, I said, you know, that's all. And to be honest, I never tell her what to do, never. She actually do everything herself, applying to colleges, stuff like that, you know. So really, very much so, I leave everything to herself to decide. Because to me, like me, I was never being pushed or guided or anything when I was... then when I get older, then I realized that, no, I want to be better. And that's why I took my law degree late in my life, in my 30s, you know. Not actually... Because I play so much during school, you know, a lot of extracurriculars. I don't even understand the importance of the exam, you know, to be honest.
Okay.
So it's really... you know, live and live lah, like that.
But actually, that was what I was going to ask you about. You know, what got you interested in pursuing law, yes, of all things? Yes. And, you know, what was your journey of becoming a lawyer like?
Well, yes, I have a very good friend since primary until secondary school. And we are of the same kind of intelligence, I suppose. And, you know, my time that we have this grade one, grade two, grade three, right?
Yeah.
And then to get the grade, you have to have the right group and the right points.
Exactly, yes.
So those were my times, you know, and... getting grade one is very rare. Grade two, common. But grade three, many. So during my SPM, right, I had the points for grade two, okay? But not enough grouping to get grade two. So I'm unable to pursue my studies to form six.
Okay.
So the only thing I can do at that time was secretarial. So that's why I can type very fast. Yeah. yeah, my knowledge of the computer or the typewriter those time, you know, I like 80, 90 speed typing. So my friend continued studying to do her A-level. No, not A-level. Was it Form 6?
SDPM.
Form 6. And then after that, she went into the law. So we are still good friends, visiting each other during semester break. So I visited her house one day during semester break. And then her father was a teacher, you know, bless him, he passed away already. And, you know, he's quite snooty, actually. Not quite, like, he's very snooty, you know. and he actually asked me in a very condescending manner, and I said, hey, Siti, kau belajar apa? You know? So I said, secretarial. Secretary, kau tengok that Lily tu, dia nak jadi lawyer tau. At that time, she's studying law in UM. I was upset, of course. Crying and ran out of the house. And, you know, and my friend, oh, Siti, please, 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 you know, my father, you know, he's like that. You know, just ignore him, lah, you know, blah, blah. You know, he's trying. I say, no, it's okay. But I knew from that moment, I cannot just be stagnant being a secretary. You know I can do better. And it happens that, you know, how the world works, I end up in the UK. And being in the UK, they promote, you know, self-improvement. They even help you. You know, they really assist you. My employer at that time, I remember the School Curriculum Assessment Council. I was working as a WPO, word processing operator. And they have this scheme. They say any staff who wants to. So I did an access course to law. And that's how it began. So I started my law degree at the age of 32.
Amazing.
32. And I graduated 35 and called to the bar from Grace Inn 37.
That's amazing. See, there's no age barrier.
No, this is what I keep telling everyone, that it's never too late to be who you want to be. I always try to tell people that, you know, don't think that, you know, that you are unable to do. If I can do it, anybody can do it. I'm not that brilliant or anything, but I work hard, you know, I work hard. I had a child at that time. My daughter was only 3 years old when I started. I remember when I took my exam, she was crying outside. I remember that I can hear her crying outside. Oh, it was, you know, I work so damn hard. I work part-time, I study full-time, I have to manage, you know, with my family at that time, or it wasn't easy. But I suppose as a mature student, I my perspective is different, you know, and I don't spend much time going around like
partying
or whatever, no. Because in fact, some of my coursemates, when they see I'm in the library, they say, oh, Siti in the library, hey, what's the date today? I must buy lottery, like, you know. Really, they actually say that because I'm hardly in the library. Because, you know, after my class, I have to go back quickly. And I live in London, you know, like I live in South London. So every day, 6 o'clock, I already took the train to work to Notting Hill Gate. Then 12 o'clock sharp, I finish. That's, you know, I work part-time. They allow me to work part-time. And then I shoot to Mile End, to my college, Queen Mary. And then after I finish that, then I follow the other way, you know, the other way, following the train.
The other line,
yeah,
right?
The other line, yes. Yeah. Following, what line is it now? Via Canary Wharf and all that. The East London line, yes, I remember that. It's so funny. Yeah, so I went through, yeah, it was, but I don't think about it. I just think that I must work hard.
Yeah. I think I'm gathering that you didn't feel like, oh, I'm so sorry for myself. Oh, my life is so
never.
Hard. No, it was just like I had a goal and I wanted to achieve it.
Yeah, and my support from my family as well. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, I have to pay for my costs, and they help me, you know, my mother, my sister, to pay for my bar school and all that. So it's support from my family as well. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to do it because, I mean, I wasn't working full time. I have no money. And I think at that time, my bar school cost me about £3,000.
That's a lot.
Yeah, £3,000 at that time. But that was, you know, for a bar school at BPP Law School. I think more than that, It's more than that. I can't remember. But you know, my family helped me. Yes, that's so important. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to do it. Yeah. Because by that time, I was single mom already.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm speaking today to Siti Kasim. She's a lawyer and human rights activist, and it's International Women's Day, so we're discussing this year's theme, Be Bold for Change. And, you know, Siti, who I personally think embodies all of that, is sharing her story with us. We will come back after this short break. You are listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. This is Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Julia Jacobs. In the studio with me today on International Women's Day is Siti Kasim. She is a lawyer and human rights activist, and we're discussing, well, her career in law, and she just shared with us how she became a lawyer a bit later in life than most people. Yeah. But then once you did graduate and, you know, you started practicing, you know, did you face any barriers as a woman in particular, you know, in becoming successful in your field?
No. You know, I've never felt being discriminated as a woman, to be honest, okay, whether in the UK or here, except in the religious part, you know, not work, but, you know, my activism, right, and yes. Especially when it touches religion, you know, I think they hated that I'm a woman as well. I'm not in their mind what an Islamic woman should be. So I get a lot of abuse because of that. But in terms of work, well, the only thing I remember when I first started in Malaysia, yeah, you know, you got to try and get work, right? Find work, wine and dine our clients, potential clients, yeah, and all that. That's the only thing I don't like. And, you know, when you have, I'm sorry to say, potential clients, you know, they think that they can have a way with you because you're a girl, you know, and that is something I really hated. And I first started that with my friend who took me around, because when I came back, I knew nothing about, actually, I've left Malaysia for 17 years. So I came back, and then when I started to see how they market, I said, this is, I'm sorry to use the word, but this is, you know, I just cannot stand it. This man is insinuating that, you know, if you want a job from me, this is what you have to give, you know. For me, that is so terrible. That's why I never do that ever again. I don't go and wine and dine clients like that, you know. It's for me, it's an insult, you know, that you want to hire me not because I'm a woman and what I can give to you, but do you think that I'm a good lawyer, whether I can do the job for you?
Yep.
And after that, I was so disillusioned with people like that, you know. And that's why most of my clients, if they try to start that kind of thing, I will totally shut them down. You know, okay. I really will not take that kind of... That's the only thing I feel, being a woman, they have this idea, you know. It is not easy. So I'm quite lucky right now because my clients, they employ me because, you know...
Your talent, yeah.
Because they know that I can do the job, you know, and... So that's where discrimination I feel that I get, you know. Other than that, no, I think, you know, mostly they will judge me based on my ability by merit.
Do you feel that, you know, just going to how women are represented, like in the media, for example, media, film, pop culture, you know, do you think that we are being represented correctly? Or do you think there's a lot of misrepresentation going on? You know, that whole typecast of women as whiny shrews who...
That's the thing. That's why I don't watch... I don't actually watch the mainstream channels, to be honest.
Okay.
I am quite lost with what's going on in the mainstream channel.
Okay.
What I hear is the things people are telling me that, you know... Yeah, you know, that's the kind of they portray women. I don't know. I can't really make a comment about this kind of thing, the portrayal of women in our media. Because I always think that it takes two to tango. Okay. I know people need a job as well, you know, so they have no choice in accepting that kind of role that make them whiny or whatever. I always think like this. I think maybe feminists will be angry with me, because I believe that if I don't want... to be portrayed, you know, being used, you know, like all these women who wear bikini or sexy clothes, you know, they have a choice, you know. It is not like people force them to wear those kind of things. And it's just a job to them. It's just the people, the public actually should not portray them as a sex object. You know, I mean, to them, it's just a job. They have to wear a certain kind of clothes because that's what is wanted from their job. Mm-hmm. The same with the actress or whatever. If they are acting out a role or something which is not representing of women in general, she's doing a job, you know. So it's the public perception that actually put them in boxes, you know. So I don't know. I mean, we need to change our public perception of
what women should look like,
yes.
You know, how we should be represented, how we should be viewed. And also, I guess it goes down to, you know, like the people who are writing this.
Yes.
They should write...
Well, this is it, you know.
Strong women characters.
They, They think that, oh yeah, you know, we need a crazy woman in there, so we just put in somebody, you know, I don't know. I mean, but anyway, that you get my idea. So I'm not, you know, like this. Sometimes this feminist thing also is too much, you know, like when some. I remember in our email group amongst lawyers, lah, you know, somebody said about hot chick, you know, hot chick. You know, and I think a lot of feminists are not happy about that, you know, about that word being called a hot chick.
Okay.
I don't find that as an offensive word, you know. I will be so proud if somebody called me, wow, look at that hot chick pass by, you know. I mean, wow, great. It's a compliment, you know. It's not something that degrading for you. I mean, come on, la. You need to, sometimes I think being too uptight as well, politically correct, you know. I think we are living in a world which is too politically correct. Like, oh, you know, women can't swear, you know, women can't be rude. Well, what do you mean women can't swear or rude, you know? I'm also a human being.
Of course.
I'm also somebody who has a brain and
emotions,
yes,
all that.
Same like all men, you know, maybe different wavelength, but still I am a person and I can express myself in whatever way. So this trying to box a human being into an idea of what one should be is the problem. Just like the feminists who hate hot chick, you know, they are trying to box the female cannot be called hot chick. You know, you are degrading the female or the woman. I don't think so, you know. There are certain things, I think, hardcore. I don't know. I mean, I just think that be a bit more relaxed lah about things, you know.
Okay. Maybe it's the situation that they didn't like being called a hot chick, you know. Maybe it was in a work, I don't know, maybe it was like in a work setting and they didn't enjoy that. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you don't like it, I know that not everybody have the same way of thinking. If you don't like it, fine, but you cannot put it all across the board. If you don't like it, you can tell the person, you know, I don't think, I like you calling me a hot chick, okay? You know, but she cannot say that, you know, calling somebody else's hot chick is insulting to that woman. How would she know? Because she's different from her, you know. So we cannot put the same because every one of us is different. So we cannot actually judge everyone to be like all women like this, all men like this, you know. So that's how I always think, you know. Yeah.
Just going back to your work, Siti, I mean, what are you most passionate about? You know, off the top of my head, I would say human rights. But, you know, what keeps you pushing forward, and especially in your work?
Work meaning the paid work or the unpaid work?
Just work. Anything. Paid, unpaid.
Yeah,
you know.
Keep me occupied. That's makes me very think my mind is always working. And it's important that I keep myself busy and something to look forward to. And along the way also, then I feel self-satisfaction when I achieve something good for the people that I fight for or speak up for. And of course, with work, you know, of course, I need bills to pay. So obviously, I need to keep pushing, you know, to get work and all that. Despite what people are thinking that I heard rumors that, you know, people say, oh, you know, she's been looked after by some rich man or something like Dato or whatever. Are they crazy? Oh, well, you know, I mean,
you wish, right?
I wish, yes, I wish. But of course, no. I have bills to pay and I have all these people who put their hopes on me as well. Yeah, which I need to work on.
But what are the topics that excite you the most? You know, what work do you enjoy the most? What sort of causes, if at all?
Yeah, well, I'm interested in all the human rights causes. You know, when I first started being active in the human rights world, I was bothered about the children, about the refugees, about orang asli. When I first started, I didn't know nothing about orang asli, and I get to find out about their problems. So many things, the people living on the street, you know, I mean, I worry about them. I worry about everything. But then I realize I cannot save the world. I have to pick and choose my work, you know. When I first started, I did a fundraising for the children homes. I helped the Rohingya, you know. People don't know about this. But yes, you ask the people in Selayang, they know me. I've been helping them for years. Until now, if they have problems, they call me. But I have slowed down on my refugee works because I just think you and HCR need to get their thing, you know.
Act together?
Their act together, basically. Yes, that's my experience. So, and that's why I concentrate on the Orang Asli issues when I discovered there are vast things that needs to be done. And of course, you know, on the Islamization and the way Islam is going in this country, that is something of my personal passion. Yeah.
And it's been well documented that you've been harassed. You know, they make fun of your appearance. Yes. You know, they say you're not acting the way, I suppose, a woman should act. And you obviously have been unafraid and you just keep fighting the good fight. You know, what keeps you going? How do you, how do you keep doing that?
I don't know. I just feel that, you know, I just don't think it's important to worry about what people think about me. You know, I just feel that what is important, what I think of me. You know, I believe in myself. I believe in my cause. I am not bothered about what others think about me. Bad or good, thank you very much if you think good of me. I really appreciate that, you know. I really appreciate the support. But if you think bad of me, that's fine. No problem, because I respect your view as well. If you want to try and bash me, attack me on my looks, on my personal things, you know, go ahead, because to me, that's a reflection of you. If you mucky me or, you know, calling me whatever names, you know, I don't really take that into heart. I just wonder what have gone wrong when I read the, sometimes when I have time, I read and I see the way they write and the way they attack me or anyone they don't like. This kind of mentality to go below the belt, to attack someone, personality or even looks or whatever. But it's really crazy. But that's what I see anyway. But I mean, in a way, I think maybe God is great, helping me to have a much stronger constitution, not to be bothered about any negative things in my life, you know, things positively. Because what do you get by being worried about what people say? Nothing. Just move on, you know, and continue with what you believe. Yeah.
Yeah, on a more practical level, like, you know, because you've received a lot of harassment online, for example,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
So, you know, what sort of, because you're a lawyer, so you obviously know what sort of action should be taken. Because I think it's very well documented that women, especially, they get trolled online and harassed online with all sorts of terrible things. What sort of, you know, action should be taken in these situations?
If you get harassment from the public or from your husband or from your family, from anyone, you know, do not be afraid to take action. Especially if you take it seriously, the threat, if they say, oh, why don't we just kill this person, you know?
Yeah.
I get that a lot, yeah. You know, if you feel that threat is real and you feel that that you should take action, go and lodge a police report. Because I know for a fact someone posted to me, somebody put my picture and Asia in a porn hub. Yeah. And
terrible.
Yes, and actually save that, you know, these two gagging for it, asking for, you know, hard sex or something like that. So this kind of thing, I actually didn't have time yet to lodge. I am going to lodge a police report on that one.
I hope you do.
Yes. And also people who, you know, do not be afraid to, you know, this is their tactic to put you in fear. You know, once they try to threaten you and then then you are scared. This is what a lot of us are suffering now. Fear. Fear is our number one enemy. And this is what they are trying to do. You know, like, oh, go and kill her. Why don't somebody go and kill her? You know? I get that. So if you feel that you couldn't be bothered about that, that's fine. But you feel that you need to do something, you feel scared about it, go and actually lodge a police report. And I'm sure the police will do something because it's not that hard to find who actually make that.
It's very easy
it's
to track.
It's very easy,
because
yeah.
Everything's being done online, right?
Correct,
or WhatsApp, you know, everything can be traced.
So basically, you know, the police can do something. If you make no report, then they cannot do anything. So no report, no nothing. So you need to do something. You have to do something yourself. So do not be afraid. Do not be in fear. Because that is their weapon, actually, to put us in fear.
And it's also like threatening bodily harm, and, you know, all sorts of horrible, horrible things they do.
Yes. But the thing is, for me, if I were to lodge report, too many, you know. and the thing is now, you know, like I was thinking, these are ignorant, you know, kids. So I don't know. I mean, to be honest, I have no time to actually entertain this kind of people.
But, you know, in all your human rights work, for example, you know, how important is empathy and encouragement? Because I think you work a lot with women as well, you know, like especially with the Tamil community and everything. Mm. How important are those two things, empathy and encouragement?
Yeah. Yes. You, as I said, I always tell them the same thing about not to be in fear. Mm-hmm. You know, this kind of trait, being fearful of everything, like being shy, you know, about like the Tamil women. If you go to the Tamil community, most of the women will be at the back, you know. I mean, they are not involved in discussion. It's their culture, actually. Yeah? Women will be cooking and all that. But women are also very active amongst the Tamil community. They do go to their ladang. They work hard, you know. The men only goes to the jungle, you know. But I see the men there, the Tamil men are equally responsible in looking after their children.
Okay.
See them carrying their babies, you know, in sarong sack. So, you know, equally, yes. But when come to meeting and talking, discussing about the issues of the Tamias, orang asli, you will not see many women. In fact, women hardly join. Not just the Tamia, I think a lot of community like that. So I always, when I'm there, I say, hey, come. I say, all the women, you have a voice as well. You know, I try to bring them in.
Right.
I try to say that you must actually allow the women to, because the women also have the right to say. So now then they start to join the meeting, you know. So that's how I try to empower them. I don't know. I never see the difference in giving opinions or being together in making decision between men and women. I don't see any different. Of course, women and men are different in terms of our physical and all. We have to accept that. But in terms of using our brain, there shouldn't be any difference, you know, because I do believe that, you know, our brain is given by God. Same to men and women. It's about how you use it, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, and since it's International Women's Day, you know, who are among your female icons or heroes, if at all?
I don't actually have any, even like superstars or actress. I never have any icon in my life. La.
Okay.
My mother, la, I think. You my said... mother, because I think my mother was a very strong woman. Despite whatever she went through, she also supported my sister that must continue school, you know, and all that, you know, and she will speak up her mind when she's not happy about it. But, you know, within the limitation of her time, of course, you know, but she's quite a strong woman. And I as I said, if she's born in another rich family or a different era, she would be somebody because she's a very wise woman, you know. I mean, despite her being a housewife, not educated, she went to school until standard 2 or 3, okay? But she still can read. Huh? She read newspaper every day.
Very good.
You know, that's my mom. You know, I love her so much. She's like, so I can say that she's my icon lah. I mean, that is a fact. She motivates me, you know, to be strong and never stop me, you know. Oh, you're a girl. You cannot do this. You know, never a word. Not even my father as well. So, yeah, that's it.
And, you know, you mentioned earlier about talking about feminists, right? Do you identify as a feminist yourself?
I don't know, to be honest. I never identify myself as anything.
Okay.
I just identify myself as Siti. That's it. You know, me, being me. I don't know. I mean, people put labels, as I say. I don't like labels, you know. To be honest, I don't even understand what is the feminist concept. So,
that's hard to believe, but okay.
Yes, true. I mean, I just do it what I feel that it is right. And so that's how I...
That's how you're guided in your
my
work.
Guided, what is... my guidance in life is that if I feel this is the right thing to do, if I need to defend a woman for choosing the way she wants to be, that's her right, you know. For example, like some people say that some women wearing tudung because they are being oppressed and whatever not. You know, that's her right. If she thinks she's being oppressed, let her decide whether she's being oppressed or not, and she will take action upon herself. And I don't think we should judge people, you know, anyone, because who are we to judge anyone? Mm-hmm. If they are not doing anything wrong or any harm to anyone else, I think people should butt out, you know. That's how I see it, yeah.
Just to conclude, Siti, I mean, what is your message this International Women's Day?
Oh, I like this this saying. They say it's Marilyn Monroe saying. I don't know whether it's true or not. But to all the women, be a first-class version of yourself rather than a second-class version of someone else. Be empowered. Do not be in fear of anything or anyone, you know. If you feel that you need to speak up, you do speak up. Speak up and get your rights back. Do not give it away to somebody else to speak for you. Just that I feel women need to be more braver to stand up for themselves and not to just accept, you know, whatever the male, the patriarchy or whatever side, you know, telling them the husband or, you know, I mean, I'm sorry, this kind of, oh, you must follow your husband. Even if they say go and jump over the building, you will jump over the building just because they say your husband is your leader in the house. You know, I mean, get out of this mentality because only God will judge you for that, okay? And be empowered, be brave, be yourself. Number one, be yourself. Do not be afraid. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Siti.
Okay. All right, thanks.
I've been speaking to Siti Kasim. She's a lawyer and human rights activist, and we were discussing International Women's Day, how we can be bold for change. You've been listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.